following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show in our Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth here in Kearney. Glad to have you along with us on this day before the College World Series and a lot of All-Star games going on. The Shrine Bowl, of course, kicked it off basically last week. There were a couple of area All-Star hoop games, but we had high school volleyball last night, more of it tonight. We have got the All-Star volleyball and football for the West Nebraska All-Star game. Of course, tomorrow the Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association All-Star Duel in Grand Island. We've got all of that. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame for the Coaches Association. Former Husker and Clark's native Mitch Manstead, a three-time champion, is going to join us later on in the program. Sean Callahan will join us next segment to talk Husker football and the three players that are no longer with the team, and Alexander, Tolbert, and Santos, and we'll find out maybe a little more details there. And at the end of the program today, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, College World Series MVP and Hall of Famer, Dave Winfield will join us from Omaha. He's there the next couple of days interacting with the fans as part of the Capital One Cup. Virginia, TCU, both at the College World Series, both have a chance to win that. Of course, there is track going on out in Eugene, Oregon, so some points will come in for that, but Virginia is sitting second right now on the men's side, so the cup is still up for grabs. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars are up for grabs with scholarships and monies to the schools that do the best. In its fifth year, the Cup awarded annually to each of the best men's and women's Division I college athletic programs in the country. So we'll be talking with Dave Winfield about that, his experience in Omaha, and a whole lot more coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show. So all of that and our guests coming up. Let's take the first few minutes of the show, though, today to talk about a few other things. And if you would like to chime in on anything in the world of sports, we would love to hear from you. The Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776, 888-455-ESPN. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. Would love to hear from you at ESPN 1460 1550. And you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Game 4 of the NBA Finals last night, Golden State had done what a lot of folks thought that they could do in these finals, and that is roll over Cleveland, dominate them, put their effort on LeBron James and slow him down. And after averaging 41 points in the first three games, held to 20 points last night. And more of it's today. You know, how much this morning have they actually talked about how good Golden State played? If you've been listening most of the morning, how much has actually been about how good Golden State played? Not much. It's about the Cavs not getting, being able to sustain it, finally catching up with them, being tired, LeBron getting injured and cutting his head on the camera. And that, again, as it is when you've got too much time to talk about these things, that has become sensationalized this morning. Did you notice the camera guy never even moved? Never even moved. Wouldn't your natural reflex be to, like, pull the camera and kind of turn your shoulder, get out of the way? I mean, and I know it's a split-second thing, but, hey, if you're driving down, a car swerves at you, do you just keep going right at it? No. But, hey, ooh, I can, that's my shot. Ooh, look at the shot. I wonder what kind of shot he did get on that picture. But cut his head, and now we wait for Game 5. It's on Sunday night, so a couple of days off. We do this 2-2-1-1-1. So they're coming back to Cleveland. Game 5 will just determine who's going to have the lead on Sunday night at Golden State. So we'll see how that all plays out. If you would like to chat about that, give us a buzz. Also, we've got the NHL going on tomorrow night, Game 5. Just as exciting, Chicago and Tampa Bay tied 2-2, and every game has been a one-goal game. And the second game for the United States women in the World Cup tonight in Canada. I can't believe there's so many people from even around our listening area that have made the trip all the way up to where the women are playing tonight against Sweden at 7. Well, let's go to the Carney Chicken Coop fan line here. Todd from Elwood is standing by. Todd, good morning. What's on your mind? How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I just had a little funny story about Mitch Manstead I wanted to call and say.
Okay.
Back when he was a freshman in high school, I found out that day, I used to call on his dad, Norm. They're at Strobel Manufacturing in Clark's, and I was there one day, and I pulled in, and here's this guy, man, I thought, out front jackhammering some cement, you know. And I asked him, I said, do you play ball? And he goes, yeah, I'm a freshman. I go, oh, where do you go to college? And he said, I'm still in high school. And I looked at this kid at the time, and I told all my friends probably for 2 weeks, I'm like, you would not believe this high school freshman I just saw. That kid is going to dominate. So that was pretty funny.
And he did.
You could tell just the way he was handling that jackhammer, busting up that concrete, you know?
He was quite the story. I mean, when you wrestle heavyweight as a freshman, you know you're a big boy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know, and so it's kind of funny. You know, every year, you know, when the wrestling championships were on NET, I'd go, there he is, there's that kid. So,
Todd, thanks for the call. Appreciate the story. Thanks for listening.
Hey, you better ask Mitch if he remembers that.
I will. I'll throw it out to him.
All right.
Thanks, Todd. It's probably not the only time that something like that happened throughout his high school career. There's a lot of kids. Of course, now you have to remember, you can go along. We've got this bigger, faster, stronger now. And maybe you run into a few more kids that way now. But you did it pretty much on your own at that time, you know, 80s, 90s, early 90s, when they started really getting into the weight room. But it was natural weights for the farm boys and the Nebraska boys at that time. Of course, he went on and wrestled at Nebraska, was on the football team, decided to concentrate on wrestling, a three-time state champion, Mitch Manstead, and he'll join us a little bit later on the program today. 2000, I guess, was the last year that he wrestled. Boy, doesn't seems longer ago. Sometimes it seems like it was just yesterday, and sometimes it seems a little bit longer ago, but Mitch was the runner-up as a freshman, and then 98, 99, 2000, he was a three-time heavyweight champion before moving on. And I've got a story or two for Mitch as well. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. But getting on to a couple of the other sports stories that we're talking about, as far as the national scene, just kind of a little bit of baseball. The Royals have a nice series with St. Louis. I'm not going to call it big. It's just a big series in Missouri, kind of for bragging rights. And, of course, with both teams leading their divisions, it's going to be exciting. Second time they've met this year. The Royals got the better of the Cardinals at Kauffman Stadium. Now today they will play out there by the Arch, and we'll see how things that's the St. Louis Arch, by the way, not the Kearney Arch, but the St. Louis Arch. Also, Nebraska season opener. Now you know when you can watch Mike Riley trot out of the tunnel and make his debut. The September 5th season opener with BYU will be televised nationally on ABC on that opening Saturday. Kickoff is set for 2:30 in the afternoon. The Huskers matchup with BYU is the first ever meeting between the schools. Cougars coming off an 8-5 record and the trip to the Miami Beach Bowl last year. Nebraska leads the nation with 29 straight victories in season openers, rolling over Florida Atlantic last year. From the old, what a difference a year makes, a day makes, a month makes. How good did Nebraska look on opening day last year and fan the flames of hope that things would go well, and then really handling Fresno State and then the struggles with McNeese and beating Miami. But so much optimism, as good as they looked on that opening day, because Florida Atlantic was supposed to have a little bit of talent and maybe not beat Nebraska, but at least not get blown out. But They did. They got handled. So might be a little different story. BYU, obviously, most schools, there are very few times, unless it's a top five matchup and they play at different venues away from home. There are very few opening week games that are challenging for BCS conference schools where the spread would be, you know, less than 21 points, and that's definitely the case here. So Nebraska, BYU, the season opener at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Saturday, September 5th, and the kickoff will be set for 2:30, a nationally televised game on ABC. The Las Vegas Aces are in Hastings today. They're on their way to go watch the College World Series, and while they're doing it, they're playing a little baseball on their road trip. So tonight they're going to play in Hastings against Five Points Bank Seniors. You'll be able to hear the doubleheader on 1230 KHAS. First pitch is set for 5:30, and the Nebraska Danger will have their regular season finale tonight. I don't know how much is really on the line. The intense conference championship is there for them. They cannot get to the overall title game because of the run Sioux Falls is having again. They're a comfortable 10-3. Mike Davis still has a lot of new guys here over the last three games that are still getting accustomed to what they're doing. And for Billings, they're 4-9. So this will be their playoff game. And they came to Grand Island when the transition was going on with the Danger and took him to overtime. Now the Danger won at 64-61. So this could be a scary game. And it just depends on how Coach Davis and his staff want to approach this. You see it in the NFL. If the game means nothing and you're getting ready for the playoffs, you may just kind of rest a player or two. But like we said, when you're only suiting 22, 24 guys, it's hard to rest very many because somebody's got to go out there and play. And the Danger will play and then have their home playoff game on the 26th. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, Sean Callahan of Husker Online.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now on America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, expect mostly cloudy skies, those high temperatures reaching the lower 70s. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy skies, slight chance for late night showers and storms, low of 60. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Right now, 61 degrees.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on this busy Friday. And when we talk Husker and Husker recruiting and Husker sports, we talk T&L Irrigation. They're like no other, just like the Big Red with their new GPS navigation corner system. Add that to the T&L hydrostatic powered pivot that you have currently in your field, and you will have everything you need to make sure your crops are properly hydrated throughout these warm Nebraska summers. Find out more from Kyle Stewart, your local T&L dealer at R&K Irrigation in Grand Island, Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney, or go online to TLIRR.com. No electronic interference with power lines. It tracks multiple constellations, so it reduces signal loss behind tree lines. No buried wire required. Continuous movement of all drive units. That's what makes the GPS work well on the navigation corner system and with the PP3 that goes on your T&L pivot system. Contact your local T&L pivot dealer today. T&L. Like no other. Just like Sean Callahan, a busy man as well, as we bring him on to the Doug and Daddy Show. And how's summer going, Sean? Good morning.
It's going by fast. Going to the Friday Night Lights camp this week, and we've got satellite camps next week, so it's going to be a busy week for us next week as well. And, you know, here we are. It's we'll be at Big Ten Media Days before you know it.
Sean, it seems to me like these camps have blown up. I know that there has always been one or two, but in just the last two or three years, haven't they tripled for what Nebraska's doing?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, the camp market has just changed. I mean, most guys now have offers by June. So you're looking at younger guys, if you can find them, or under-the-radar players. We're back in the 90s and early 2000s even. You would get a lot of big-time, you know, guys that would come to your camp that would try to get an offer because the process was different. So I think, you know, during the week, like these Monday, Tuesday camps, they've been mostly, you know, in-state type players or regional players. And, you know, of the 120 guys that were at the Tuesday camp, maybe one or two have a shot of a Nebraska offer. But the Friday night ones have definitely been better events, and we'll have another one of those here tonight.
So just guys showing up is the only difference, making it available for a couple of weeks for some of the possible recruits?
Yeah, they've lowered the cost. You know, they don't have overnight camps anymore, but they're very quick camps. I mean, they're 3 hours long, and that includes check-in and testing. So really there's only about 2 hours, hour and 45 minutes of football drills. So there's some good and bad to the new format. The old staff used to let you come for just a day, and they would prorate it. So, they would work with you in that sense. But you would have more kids come to camp, I think, back in the day because you had to go, where I think now the top guys that you offer, they don't have to go to camp anymore. So, you know, the days I can remember Husker camps would have 600, 800 kids at them back when camps were much more important, where I think the last couple of years you saw maybe 300, 400 at an overnight camp at Nebraska. So there's just different ways to doing it, and this new staff is trying a new way, and I think they like this quicker approach where they can get more kids in for less money.
What can these young men hope to accomplish? I mean, obviously the coaches have some of the guys they've already had their eye on or thinking about offering. For the rest of them, what can they hope to accomplish in such a short amount of time, or is it just to say, hey, I went to a Husker camp?
It's just getting out there and making an in-person evaluation. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is these kids are getting the chance to work out in front of the Husker coaches and test in front of the Husker coaches and kind of put their name on the radar. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is getting the chance to be seen. And, you know, you're not going to necessarily figure out everything in that three-hour session, but you'll at least get a pretty good idea of what the kid's like and what he measures out at and those types of things.
Sean Callahan, Husker Online, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So who are the big names that are going to be coming in this week?
Well, there'll be a few. I think Ben Stille from Ashland Greenwood is the one to watch, or one of the ones to watch this weekend, just because, you know, I think there's a good chance he could end up being a commit. Austin Poe, a tight end out of Knoxville, Tennessee, is somebody else that will be in this weekend. There'll be a number of guys coming in. You know, it won't be star-studded top to bottom, but there'll be probably, what, 6 to 8 guys. You know, I think Nebraska could end up offering or have already offered that will be here, and You know, hopefully some in-state guys emerge more tonight at the Friday Night Lights camp as well.
Sean, and if folks, if you want to know more about all that's going on with Husker football, go to Husker Online and also check out their weekly podcast. Some news now about quarterback commit in Terry Wilson. If Oregon's looking at you, how worried should Nebraska fans be?
Oh, obviously very worried to some extent. It's hard to say where he falls on Oregon's quarterback board and kind of what things are, what they look like there for him. But the distance, I think, is a real factor. I mean, Nebraska has the advantage that his family can drive, you know, in six hours or whatever it is to home games someday versus Oregon. You know, you're going to have to fly to attend every single game.
You talk, and we've been talking about these satellite camps. For the fans out there, how many are there? Where are they at? And will all those be just kind of locally specialized?
Yeah, they're all over the country. So there's five camps. The first one is in Atlanta on Friday at Georgia State University. The second one is on Tuesday, and that's in Miami. And they'll be doing it in Doral, which will be in the morning out there. And then Wednesday, they're going to be in Houston. They're going to be at Prairie View A&M in Houston. And then Thursday, they're going to be with Houston Baptist in Dallas at Highland Park High School. And then Friday, they're going to be at Santa Monica College in Los Angeles area. So they will be literally canvassing the country like 6,000 miles in 5 days. And we'll actually be going out and covering all the events and camps at Husker Online. So we'll have some special promotions as well. If you want to get on and follow the coverage, this would be a good time to get on our site because we're, as far as I know, we'll probably be the only Nebraska outlet traveling, and we're going to have video coverage. And the entire coaching staff is going to be out there on the road. Mike Riley, all the assistants. There'll be about 15 or so traveling coaches on these satellite camp trips. So it will be a very, very unique deal.
Sean Callahan with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. One more on the recruiting. How many commits? What's Nebraska looking to get out of this, let's say, by the end of the month? You expect more kids to give their commit?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think by the end of the week, I mean, we're going to see, what are they at, seven now? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they're over 10, 11 guys here, 12 guys, and by the end of June. It's just everything's coming together still, and I know people want immediate commits now, but it will happen. I feel like every summer I have the same conversation. Are you concerned about lack of commits or where they're at? And I say the same thing. It will take care of itself, and they will get there. And they're really close on probably five, six guys at this point, and it's just a matter of when it's going to happen.
You got a name or two that you're pretty sure is going to give their commit here?
Well, I mean, the big Ben Stilley is somebody,
sure.
I think, you know, Jack Stahl from Colorado, the tight end, he's going to be here for the Big Red weekend, and they've offered him as well as Texas, and he's down basically to Nebraska and Texas, and I like Nebraska's chances with Jack. This Austin Pope is also going to be here. Quayshawn Alexander, the linebacker of New Jersey, is another one that I think is going to be here this weekend. That's really close. There's a kid, Bo Johnson out of Kansas City, an offensive lineman. You know, I think he could be a commit at any time. He's kind of waiting on Missouri, though, to see what Missouri ends up doing.
Sean Callahan with us for another couple minutes. Husker Online on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's get to the news of the week now. Yesterday, just a short statement from the university that Coach Riley is saying that Jeriah Tolbert and Leroy Alexander have decided to transfer and that David Santos is not going to return to the team. I mean, when I read that, here's my thought, and then I want to get what your reaction was. Tolbert, not a surprise. Alexander, would have thought maybe that would have happened earlier if he was going to get out of here. And then Santos was a head-scratcher. What was your reaction?
Yeah, I think you're right on par. I mean, we the rumblings about Alexander, if you're kind of in that inside circle of trying to know all the scoop or gossip, that's been out there for about a month that he was going to be gone. Mike Riley just hadn't released it yet at this point. And, you know, there's a couple players that even made tweets, not with his name, but you kind of knew Leroy was done at that point. The other one, you mentioned Tolbert. He's had two marijuana-related incidents, citations, arrests, whatever you want to call them, in a year. So I think at that point it was probably just time to part ways. I don't know what, you know, Mike Riley told him, but was the kid even a cultural fit at Nebraska? I don't know. I just think long-term it wasn't going to work. Now, Santos, I believe, if you had to ask me, I think it could be an academic-related issue. If you're not, because they want him around, and you notice that they said he's not transferring anywhere. So I'm not even sure if he'll be eligible to play anywhere at this point, and I believe it could have been an academic-related issue with him.
They always talk about next man up, linebackers thin anyway, so who moves up the chart with him leaving?
That's a great question. I mean, Michael Rose and Josh Banderas are going to have really, really big years. But Luke Gifford, Dedrick Young, and Marcus Newby, I mean, those are the three, and then the freshmen coming in. If one of those other guys can step up, Antonio Reed's going to play linebacker, to my understanding, where Muhammad Berry, who's not here yet, will be a strong safety. So those guys will swap. So Antonio Reed's one I'd watch. You've got Anthony Talon and then Tyron Ferguson as well as true freshmen. So they've got numbers, not very many, though. I mean, they are thin as far as experience. You've got two linebackers on the roster with, like, legitimate game experience in Banderas and Michael Rose, and that's it. So it is a concern at this point.
You were doing sidelines, obviously, last week for NET for the Shrine Bowl. What'd you think?
You know, it was great. Too bad that we got rained out there, a couple long injury timeouts. I think we would have got that game done before the rain came, but I was glad to see the North team kind of mount a comeback there. I think the South went like an hour without the ball. I mean, it was crazy how that game turned with that rule that allowed the North to get multiple possessions in a row. But Connor Young, man, put on a show. I'll be curious what he does. I mean, could he make the – I think for him, could he make the 105-man fall camp roster? That would be my goal if I was him. Going down to Nebraska, you know, Brandon Riley a couple years ago was a similar player in the Shrine Bowl, kind of a skinny receiver. Now he's a grown man, and he's starting on Nebraska. Could Connor Young be that type of player? I mean, he sure showed it on Saturday in Kearney, and I thought Wyatt Mazur had a quad injury, but he ran tough. He ran hard. I think he wasn't even close to 100%, so to get almost 100 yards kind of showed what kind of grittiness that kid played with. Deshaun Neal, you know, made his presence felt a little bit in that game. But, yeah, it was a good showing, a lot of good talent on the field, and I'm glad to see we're getting the best players in the state playing in this game again.
Sean Callahan with us. Sean, my sources tell me that Coach Riley has kind of made it known that the 105 is going to be kind of announced to the team members maybe as soon as the end of the week. Are you hearing anything there, and is that unusual?
You know, I've kind of heard some grumblings. I won't say the player's name, but possibly like one high-profile player at a high-profile position has already been notified he wouldn't be on the 105. So I think you're dead on that a lot of guys might know their spot on the 105 already at this point. So going back to a guy like Connor Young, that probably doesn't help his case very much because, you know, you don't know anything about the walk-ons at this point if they're just going through workouts now. But I think it's all need and what positions are need. And if there's walk-ons at a position of need, say like linebacker, they might have a shot to get on there as an incoming walk-on. But every coach does it a little bit different, and that's clearly the way Mike Riley is going to do it here, it sounds like.
Sean, tell the fans, again, if you're on the 105, you're practicing in August, the rest of the guys can't do the official practice until the first day of school when everybody comes together. And I think, you know, true Husker fans, we've talked about it enough that they know that. So what do those other guys do?
They just have to basically work out on their own. I mean, it's a very depressing day for a lot of guys that want to be on that deal because when you find out you're not on it, you basically have lost the season at that point. Mm-hmm. You really have. And August 24th is the first day of classes this year. They'll start practicing, I believe, August 7th in that range. Or I'm trying to say August. August 9th or 10th, that weekend there. So you basically miss the first 2 weeks of practice. And that's when all the playbook and stuff gets installed. And then you join the team for the third week of practice. and you basically roll into a scout team role at that point. And then the fourth week is game week. You miss. You're essentially not with the team when they're putting in their playbook and establishing the depth chart, and you show up almost into a scout team role immediately if you're not on the 105, and you really have no chance, a very small chance, I guess I would say, of making the actual two or three deep.
It's like giving Usain Bolt a head start in the 100. It's pretty tough to overcome. Just announced this morning, Sean, it all comes together. Mike Riley, the new era, nationally televised game one, BYU, 2:30 in the afternoon, ABC. Can't have a higher profile game. Good, bad, indifferent?
It's good. I mean, this is a good opponent. You know, I think to play BYU out of the gates, that should be on ABC. And I go back to last year. I mean, one of the things about Nebraska's schedule last year, how crappy it was out of the gates, they didn't get, like, any good TV games. You think about Florida Atlantic was BTN, McNeese State was ESPNU, Fresno was CBS Sports Network. Your Miami game, which is high profile, was on ESPN2, Illinois, BTN. You didn't get a national game until October when they played Michigan State. So I felt like last year's schedule, a lot of people didn't know much about Nebraska because no one saw them play. And I think this year, the fact that they're going to be on ABC out of the gates, and then the Miami game could be ABC, you're going to get a really good national read on this team out of the gates.
Who you got in the College World Series?
I haven't looked at it that close, but you got to think LSU is a team to beat. I mean, they've been one of the best teams all season, but I haven't really studied the field. Vanderbilt coming back as a national champion, though, and number one pick in the MLB draft, you know, they're going to be a force. It's a great field, and we know how that ballpark plays. I'm a Rosenblatt guy. I grew up around Rosenblatt. I worked my first job at Rosenblatt, so I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of TD Ameritrade. I don't go maybe as much as I used to go. But, you know, I always will be a Rosenblatt guy down to my core.
Watch it from the Blatt. It's a lot more fun.
Go over to Starsky's and just pretend like we're at the Blatt still, right?
There you go, buddy. We'll let you get back to work, Sean. Appreciate you chiming in and giving us the latest Husker football knowledge. Enjoy the weekend. I know you're going to be busy here again the next few days, so be safe on the travels.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sean. Sean Callahan joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. In June at Midway, get 0% APR for 5 years with approved credit, including the 2015 GMC Sierra 1500 SLT. Plus, receive a $2,000 cash allowance. Stop in and see Midway for the full details. There's also some great financing happening with the 2015 GMC Acadia, where you get $2,250 purchase bonus cash back with 0% APR for 60 months. Stop in at South 2nd Avenue and see all the great vehicles and find out more. Or you can go online to find out more and see those great cars, trucks, vans, SUVs at thinkmidway.com. Your Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway, it's a better way. Mitch Manstead is going into the High School Wrestling Hall of Fame. We'll talk with him. And Dave Winfield, former Padre, Yankee, Hall of Famer. We've also got Fanatics Friday Trivia. Someone could be a $25 winner of a Fanatics gift card. It's still to come in the second half of the Doug and Daddy Show.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Hit this one high and deep. Right center field, way back there, and home run.
Are you looking to hit an insurance home run? Contact your hometown team at the Kroll Agency for protection written through IMT or Wadena Insurance. They'll help you customize an insurance plan for you. The Kroll Agency, the IMT Group, and you. A team that can't be beat. The Kroll Agency, with offices in Hastings, Minden, Kennesaw, and Roseland. Online at KrollAgency.com.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Funner Park.
Let's do lunch today at Funner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. How about a delicious Keno Club or Heartland Steak Sandwich served with choice of fries, soup, or dinner salad? Complete bar service, too. And you can play Keno and wager on coast-to-coast simulcast racing from all your favorite tracks. Nonstop from 11:45. Stay over for night racing at the Finish Line, number one for food and fun.
Doug and Daddy's show rolling on this Friday. Glad to have you along here on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda with you as Dave Winfield, Hall of Famer, is going to join us in the last segment from Omaha, getting ready for the College World Series. And if you're looking for a little lunch, whether you just love sandwiches, you love to eat healthy, or you need to feed the entire crew, or you're going to be watching baseball at Duncan Field in Hastings at any time, Big Daly's Deli is right there, 610 East South Street, right across the street, and then also in the newly new refurbished building downtown at 801 West 2nd. All sandwiches served with your choice of freshly baked bread or bun. The cheese like you like, the vegetables, the condiments, the dill pickle spear. And if you want to make it a combo meal, they've got a variety of choices, the chips, the fruit cups, the side salad, potato salad. You can even get soup or desserts. It's all there for you at Big Daly's Deli, who also offer meat and cheese trays for special occasions and extra long sandwiches if you're really hungry or if you're trying to feed a crew. Big Daly's Deli, home of a bazillion and one sandwiches, because too many is better than not enough. Big Daly's, 610 East South and 801 West 2nd Street in downtown Hastings. Well, the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association has a big weekend going on. The annual All-Star Duel is set for tomorrow at Grand Island Senior High at 1 o'clock. And then we have the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies going on today. That usually was after the duel. They've moved it up to Friday night this year. And one of those that will be inducted is a three-time state champion out of Clark's University in Nebraska. And Mitch Manstead joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Mitch, Doug Duda here. It's been a while, man. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Doing well. Thank you for having me on. And before we get started, I want to tell you congratulations on your induction. The wrestling community says thank you for all your support.
Well, thank you for the kind words, and yeah, we'll see if we can get through it tonight. Quite an honor, and I know how I felt when I found out about it. But hey, I'm not a guy like some of the, I mean, if you're a coach and you've won team titles and you've been around a long time and you've had a lot of success, this is probably going to happen. If you've been a four-timer, a three-timer, or have hundreds of wins in your career, you kind of know it's coming. So what was your feeling like?
The family and I kind of expected it to happen, didn't expect it to happen this soon, but, you know, I'm really honored to be a part of the Hall of Fame and the Hall of Fame class going in this year. And it's just a truly great honor. And you know, I was kind of surprised at first, but I'm really excited about it now.
Well, we had a caller earlier in the show kind of relate a story to us, and it'll kind of follow into the first question I had. He said he stopped into Strobel's there. You were working. I think he said you were jackhammering some stuff, and he asked you if you were an athlete or if you played ball, I think was what he said. He said, yeah, you're a freshman, and he goes, what college are you going to? And you said, I'm a freshman in high school. How often did that happen to you? I mean, you were obviously a big, strong kid early on.
Yeah, that happened quite a bit, you know, especially in 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. All the time people asking, you know, what high school team I play for, or even in the high school, people asking what college team I play for. I was always a little bit bigger than everybody else in elementary school and high school, so that mistake happened quite a bit.
What was it like having to wrestle heavyweight all throughout high school? Obviously, your junior and senior year, you probably kind of came into your own there, even though you were a champ as a sophomore. But how tough was it when you were a freshman wrestling at the big boy weight?
You know, it was difficult. You know, usually you're wrestling against juniors and seniors, and as a freshman, your body's just not quite developed yet. You're not strong enough yet to maintain and hold yourself against some of those older opponents. But you know, you learn and you adapt and you try to overcome some of your flaws that you may have physically to be smarter on the mat, to be more aggressive in situations. And, you know, really Dad and my coach really instilled that into me about, you know, working on your positive enforcements and really driving hard into being a solid wrestler on the mat at all times.
And Mitch Manstead's with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Obviously, his dad, Norm, a longtime great coach, a big supporter of wrestling, probably on the Mount Rushmore of Nebraska wrestling coaches. Did he wrestle with you? Was it your cousins and Shane and Scott? Because you were at Clark's. This isn't a Class A school. There wasn't a lot of guys, I'm guessing, that could keep with you in the wrestling room.
Yeah, Dad stepped on the mat a few times with me as a freshman, but then after that, he pretty much stopped. You know, my cousin Shane and Scott, they were involved. My brother, who when I was a freshman in college, would always come back and wrestle with me. You know, the nearest guy in my weight class as I got older into high school was, you know, around 180 pounds, so there's about a 100-pound difference. And a lot of times I didn't wrestle in practice because we didn't have anybody to wrestle against, and so I usually grab the jump rope or grab some weights and work out.
Winning 3 state championships at the heavyweight division from 98 to 2000, and a lot of folks that, okay, I can throw a name out recently that is very similar to you, and Michael Schaff wrestled the heavyweight weight class his whole career, 3-time champion, lost in the finals as a freshman due to the grabbing of the singlet. You lost as a freshman. Is that a source of disappointment, anger? Because that's the quirky thing about being a 4-timer. You have to win it as a freshman. It's not like the pressure is on your senior year. You're usually in pretty good shape by that time.
Yeah, you know, there was some disappointment, but really what it did was it motivated me to get better, to never be in that situation again, to lose in a final. So it really propelled my career losing in that freshman year in the finals, to get better, work harder, and be smarter on a wrestling mat. And, you know, I think it paid off getting into college and wrestling in college. So that really motivated me. It wasn't so much anger, but just motivation to say, I got to get better.
You weren't just good, obviously, at wrestling. You had a chance to play a couple of sports in Lincoln, but you ended up sticking with wrestling. How would you categorize your collegiate career in Lincoln?
You know, it was fun. It was great. I enjoyed playing football for Nebraska. I enjoyed wrestling for Nebraska. You know, it was a good career. I wouldn't say great career, but it was a good career. I you know, wrestled all 4 years. I had some injuries there towards the later part of my career, but I got to meet a lot of great people that are still friends today of mine. I got to see a lot of places that I never thought I'd ever see again, and experience a lot of great opportunities that really motivated me again, not only through college wrestling, but into later on in life after college, and to be successful outside of sports.
A couple of minutes left here with Mitch Manstead on the Doug and Daddy Show. He went 108-12 in his career. 90 were pins. 108 even just a decade ago, huge, huge accomplishment. The sport has changed, Mitch. Do you like what you're seeing from the sport of high school wrestling, an opportunity for kids to win 150 matches and many more dual tournaments?
You know, it's a different mindset now than what it was when I was in high school. People are getting, you know, 50, 60 matches in high school now, and then also in wrestling all year long. And it's a lot more specialized now. You know, you don't do a lot of other sports. It's either wrestling or just play football or just play basketball or track. And, I don't like that part because I think kids now need to have an opportunity to grow and try different things and really helps out their athletic ability and will really help them out when they do specialize in either college or later on in high school in their career. That's a lot of matches, 150 matches in a career, 160 matches in a career. It just puts a lot of toll on your body, but, you know, that's today's game now. So,
for the folks out there, let them know what you're doing now, Mitch.
Right now, I'm a regional manager for U.S. Water. I'm based in Lincoln, Nebraska. Got married to a beautiful wife, Kate, and she's blessed me with two great kids. And, you know, life's good. Can't complain.
Wrestling kids?
Well, my daughter, she's going to be 4 in August, and my boy just turned 1. So you never know. You might see him out there.
You know, I was going to incorporate this in my speech tonight, and you got to keep it shorter. Everybody nods off because that's the way it is at these Hall of Fame deals. But so I want to share it right now because, to me, it was, in any sport, one of the greatest things I've ever seen. So I want to throw a name out, and I want maybe you to tell me a little bit about your relationship with Steve Krewald.
Steve Krewald, yes. He is a good friend. We became really good friends in college. In high school, we competed each other in football and track. He, of course, played basketball, and I wrestled. And we became pretty good friends there towards the end of our high school career. We actually lived together in college. Steve is just a phenomenal person and a phenomenal athlete from high school and in college even, and just a tank of a man as well.
Not many. I didn't know a lot of kids that were national pedal tractor pull champions, like at the age of 5 or 6 or whatever he wanted at.
Exactly. He had legs on him the size of tree trunks, and he could really get that pedal car going, and, you know, paid off for him, especially in high school and college, and just a fantastic person.
Now, obviously, you guys were both in Class D, he being at North Loop Scotia, so you did see each other, especially in track. And the moment I'm referring to, you were the two top shot putters, weight guys, discus guys, but shot put is what I'm looking at here. And I remember being at the state meet, you made your final throw, and you hadn't caught Steve. And I remember you standing back there, and you led the fans in the old slow clap before Krewald unleashed his last throw, which eventually broke the state meet record for all classes. Best throw in the shot that ever been thrown, and it still holds as the Class D record. Do you recollect that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, you know, Steve and I cheer each other on. You know, it was a great competition. We enjoyed competing against each other, and we wanted to see each other succeed. You know, after I couldn't catch him after my throw, I knew that record was really important to him, and so I wanted to see him break it, because we all knew that he could.
Well, it was an outstanding moment, and again, one of those that if it was on film could be shown for sportsmanship for whatever the sports is when it comes to high school athletics. Mitch, we'll let you get back to your day. Look forward to seeing you later today in Grand Island, and again, congratulations. Appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thank you, Doug.
Take care, buddy. Mitch Manstead, outstanding young man then, outstanding person now, and you're not going to go wrong if you're hanging around Mitch Manstead, I'll tell you that. Glad to have him on the program today. Coming up, it just keeps getting better and better and better. Dave Winfield is set to join us on the other side of this break. Hall of Famer, Minnesota native, grew up St. Paul, Minnesota, played baseball in Minnesota, and again, as I referred to him earlier, he's the Tom Crop. I mean, he played everything. He took it to the next level. He was drafted by both the NBA and the ABA. He was drafted by the NFL, and he didn't even play college football, and of course decided to take a career in baseball. And that is the subject of today's Fanatics Friday Fabulous Fan Quiz. We will give you a chance to win a $25 gift card to Fanatics. One winner per household every 3 months. Call 888-455-ESPN. When we go into the break, Caleb will take your answers, and we'll give away a $25 gift card. 888-455-3776. Fanatics, your sports bar dedicated to bringing you the game, great food, and good times. Follow the Huskers and the rest of the college football season this fall and all of your favorite NFL packages. And, of course, you've got the Women's World Cup tonight. They are your American Outlaw home, your soccer home, but you can also go in and watch the NBA, the NHL, College World Series. Enjoy their great pizza and wings. Wingies, so good at Fanatics in their outdoor beer garden, the bullpen, perfect for this time of the year for the College World Series. Here is your trivia question, 888-455-3776. Dave Winfield played 17 years, the first 17 years of his career with the San Diego Padres, and then, of course, a little tumultuous time with the New York Yankees. He actually suited up for four more teams after that. Name any one of the four teams that Dave Winfield suited up for besides the Padres and Yankees. Played for the Padres, the Yankees, and then four other teams. Name any one of those four, and you'll win the $25 gift card to Fanatics. We'll be right back to talk to Dave Winfield after this.
I call Kearney Crete and Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
This week a custom pack of Hastings get bone-in grill-cut pork chops only $1.99 a pound. 10 pounds of gold leaf chicken hindquarters only 59 cents a pound. And 2 pounds of Polk's hot links only $4.79 each. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
It's that time of year again, so dust off the bikes and head to Upland, Nebraska for the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th. Events being held during the rally include a fun run, a bike show, bike games, a hog roast, live auction on Saturday at 6, enjoy music on Friday night from Area 52, and Saturday from One Horse Town. There will be vendors and other activities as well. The rally is focused on raising money and awareness for the National Craniofacial Association. Find more information about registration at facesrally.org. The 14th Annual Faces Rally in Upland. Proudly sponsored by BBLC Digital Outdoor, Kearney. Fort Theater Dentistry, Kearney. Aurora Co-op Agronomy Division, Upland. Rogers Foundation, Minden First Bank and Trust. Holstein Construction, Scott Shaw, Holstein. Pioneer Seed, Doug Bolt in Upland. See you at the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th in Upland, Nebraska.
Doug and Danny Show, no problem this week with the Fanatics fan quiz. Last week we went a long time. You never know. We asked you, Dave Winfield played for four different teams after his 17 years with the Padres and the Yankees, and Randy and Hastings threw out the hometown Minnesota Twins. So congratulations to Randy. He's the winner of a $25 gift card to our friends at Fanatics Sports Bar and Grill in downtown Kearney. He also played for the California Angels, Toronto Blue Jays, and then ended with the Cleveland Indians. So there are your facts for today's Fanatics fan quiz. Let's take a look now at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, does the Major League Baseball need to change the selection process for the All-Stars? Because as it was all over again yesterday, seven Royals are in line to start for the American League. 50% of you said, yep, players should vote on this. 40% said, no, leave it as it is. It's the fans' game. 10% said anything is better than this. So that is our tally from yesterday. Over the weekend, we asked you about Albert Pujols. He hit his 537th career home run last night, passing Mickey Mantle for 16th all-time. How far can Albert Pujols rise on the all-time list? The all-time leader, past Barry Bonds. He can make the top five, which means up there in the Alex Rodriguez zone at 660, so he'd be 123 home runs short of that right now. Can he be in the top 10, which is 583, or outside the top 10, which means he'd hit less than 50 home runs the remainder of his career? My gut tells me that Albert Pujols is going to be good, great, maybe great again. I think Albert Pujols is going to be very, very good, close to great, if not great, again. He will put together 2 or 3 years. I think he can get another 100 home runs in his career, so that puts him just short of the top five. He needs 660 to get past Willie Mays, I think, holds the number five spot at this time. So I think he's going to be darn close to 660, but he's obviously slowing down, and then it just depends how long his body can hold up. I think he's got three more good years in him. That's 100 to 120 home runs. I say he's going to be about sixth or seventh on the home run list, so I guess my vote would be he's in the top 10. Give us your thoughts on where you think Albert Pujols will end up on the all-time home run list. Vote now on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our preview of the College World Series, as we're just a day out from all the action, and of course every game right here on ESPN Radio. But today on the Doug and Daddy Show, we are pleased to welcome in a Hall of Famer that made his Major League debut on my birthday, but it was 42 years ago. So we've been around a while, and we are pleased to welcome Dave Winfield to the Doug and Daddy Show on behalf of Capital One and the Capital One Cup. He's in Omaha for festivities over the next couple of days. And, Mr. Winfield, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. How are you?
Hey, Doug, my pleasure. Glad to be here in Omaha. Looking forward to the College World Series and just sharing some of this information on the Capital One Cup. It's a good thing.
How much do you still follow the collegiate game and the pro game, and do you follow one more than the other?
Well, I follow the pro game more because working with the Baseball Players Association, I see the guys all the time. You know, you're in their life. You're educating them, helping them with that. So I see those guys every day. But when it, certainly late in the collegiate season, and once they get into the regionals, super regionals, and all that, I start to really pay attention and see who's going to emerge and who's going to make it down to Omaha. So I know some of these teams. I know Virginia. I don't know this group of players, but I do know their coach, Brian O'Connor, and Vanderbilt. I follow them somewhat because not only because they had the number one pick in the nation, but because I had a niece and nephew go to the school. And then I follow Miami because my another niece goes to Miami. So, you know, I just pay attention.
Dave Winfield with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Dave, one of the things that's been talked about in all social media, all sports talk shows like we have here in Nebraska, is kids specializing in one sport. And now, I don't know if backlash is the right word, but numerous coaches and numerous ex-athletes coming out saying, you know what, you've got to be versatile, play all the sports, enjoy your high school experience. You'd kind of be one of the poster child for that with all the athletic and all the team sports that you played. Can you talk about specialization versus what you were able to do and being successful in a variety of sports?
Yeah, Doug, specialization is not a good thing. It just isn't. As a youngster, I mean, people, you know, parents, coaches, programs, they're trying to funnel or grab the best athletes early on, and then they, like you say, funnel them into one sport. So that means they're training one way through their whole life. They think that a kid at 12 years old is going to be the same kid as he is when he's 17, 18, 19 years old. They're not. You know, parents, at the kid's 8 years old, they're paying $150 an hour to teach him to hit. The kid may never be able to hit, but he may be good at soccer. He may skate. He may do some, play gymnastics, be a swimmer. They may end up doing something that they enjoy. They may not enjoy that one sport. They just haven't been exposed. So it's not good for the body to overwork one part of the body or the mind. If you keep training, you come to the gridiron or the court or the field, and all it is training, 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 practice. The kids are burned out. That's why the kids, you know, they finally make it to college, and the parents are so happy. Oh, my kid got to college. And then the kid says, I'm done. I'm burned out. I don't want to play anymore. You see it all the time. So specialization, it's not good. Let the kids play numerous sports, blossom physically and mentally. It's healthy to play other sports. And even when I was down to one sport as a professional, I took time off. I took a break mentally and physically, got away from the sport, did something else, swam, went on vacation, shot baskets. And you really mature and you grow and you blossom when you play a number of sports. So I can't tell you enough that the age of specialization, it's a bad thing. But they almost force you. They say, if you don't play for my team all year round, you know, you're just not going to be able to make the team. And so it's the chicken and the egg. It's a bad thing. And a lot of bad coaches and bad programs when they force you just to play one sport.
A lot of parents, they want to coach their kids. Somebody has to coach kids when they want to just play baseball, get started 7, 8, 10 years old. If you're playing baseball as an ex-player, as a dad, what's your advice to the youngsters as they start their little league careers?
Well, I happen to be a little league coach when I finished playing. I did that while my son was coming up. Believe me, I see so many, when I say bad coaches, it's because maybe they don't know the game, and also they're trying to build their reputation and their program on how they operate. And I didn't have to do that. I knew the game, and I just wanted the kids to grow and blossom and flourish. And there's a certain style, there's a certain manner in which you have to coach. We could talk for days on that, but all I can say is teach the kids to have fun, teach them some fundamentals so that they can improve and want to continue to play. And that's it's an interesting balance that most people don't know how to do, because they're caught up into how can my program win, how can I gain my respect, how can I get more people in the program, how can I make more money, and it's a bad spiral. It's in the wrong direction of teaching kids to just enjoy the sport. I'm going to tell you this, kids will always remember who their best coach was and their worst coach in life. And I know how to fit in the best category, and I see a lot of the worst. Well, and that's not just because of me. It's just most people will echo that across the country.
We're talking with Hall of Famer Dave Winfield here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, in part with Capital One Cup. The Capital One Cup trophy will be awarded after the baseball tournament because it's the last Division I sporting event. And, of course, Dave, you have been philanthropic from the very beginning, one of the first athletes to really set some money aside for charity. And how did you get involved with this organization to continue that work with colleges throughout the country?
Well, actually, you know, that's a very interesting segue you put it. I did have my foundation, and I gave back because people helped me succeed in life, and it was just a natural thing for me. So you go back 40-plus years, and I was the first guy to start a foundation and giving back, and I helped numerous other people from great names like Martina Navratilova and, you know, I could Harold Reynolds Arthur Ashe. I'm just here in the room with other people that know what I've done. But it's great to be able to align myself with people like Capital One and this Capital One trophy. They're interested in, you know, supporting education and empowering young people, and they do it through Division One colleges and universities. And basically the platform they set up, whichever athletic program in men and women that succeed with the most points for championships and top 10 finishes, they could win. The men's program could win $200,000 for the athletic program, and the women's $200,000 as well. That's $400,000 of major trophy, bragging rights for the kids, and they'll be honored at the ESPY Awards in Los Angeles in July. So it's a big thing. It's the fifth year they've done it. I'm just very happy to be able to align myself with people like this and the college scene, because it meant so much to me.
Stanford leads the women's race. Florida's Women's College World Series softball win has pushed them to second. Of course, the track championship still going on in Eugene, Oregon. The men's race, very tight. Ohio State leads it by 4.5, but Virginia's second. TCU can still get there if they win the College World Series. And we've got another minute left here with Dave Winfield, the Hall of Famer. And the good thing about this interview, Dave, is I don't like the Yankees, so we don't have to talk about that. We can talk about the other 20 years of your career, as we're just glad to be Royals fans. But I want to go back to your playing days at Minnesota. And, of course, now Coach John Anderson's been there for 30-plus years. But playing way back then, Nebraska now, learning about the Big Ten and all the history and all the cool things. But can you talk about playing baseball in cold weather, colder than we have here in Minnesota in the 60s, and what that was like?
I believe that Minnesota was national champions. They were national champions in 1960, 1964. And then we went in 73 to the College World Series. We didn't win it, but there's the evolution really quickly. There's the evolution of the sport. If you go to college stadiums nowadays, you go to a place like, I'll just throw Arkansas. I'm sure they have at least 10,000 seats there. Mississippi State, Florida. Oh, but a northern school where we have just a few thousand in the stands, it's different. Southern schools have a kind of a distinct advantage nowadays. Guys can play longer. They're playing in better weather. And so they have a leg up on northern schools. But you know, I went to the school. It was 5 miles from my house. They gave me a scholarship, and you know, we didn't have the money or the time or the car to be able to go scout other schools. And I'm happy with my experience in Minnesota, but you know, northern schools are a little bit of a disadvantage. But with John, people like John Anderson and the history, the legacy of that program, they do pretty well.
Do you have a Do you have a World Series moment that stands out from your time in Omaha?
Well, I ended up being the most valuable player, or, you know, we lost the game, but I pitched very well. The last game that I pitched, I struck out 29 people in two games. Won the first 1-0, was leading the second 7-0 going into the last inning. Mm. And we brought in relief pitchers, we lost. All I can say is I had still a very good time in Omaha. It was my last stint in college. I left a legacy, great relationship. I appreciated my time, but I went on to the professional ranks. So I know these young men here will enjoy their stay. Omaha is different. It's distinctly newer and shinier and bigger, and the stadium is wonderful, and the fan fest and the hoopla, 350,000 people. This is the second biggest NCAA tournament in all the sports. So don't tell me baseball's dying or baseball's fading out. It's big time here. It's a great opportunity, and I'm just so happy to be a part of it again.
And Dave, we'll wrap it up with this. For the fans that are coming down to Omaha, where can they see you and have a chance to yell at you a little bit?
At the ballpark. They'll see me at the ballpark. I'll be at the Fan Fest, Capital One Fan Fest, and mixing and moving around a lot of people. 12:30 to 2:30 tomorrow. There'll be some autographs. There'll be a little clinic. I'll give some people some sage advice. And well, I think there's some barbecue there, too. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Dave Winfield, Hall of Famer, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We sure appreciate the time. I know it'll be a fun weekend. Enjoy it, and thanks for giving us your time. Continued success.
Doug, my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Great having you. Thanks, Dave. Dave Winfield. And again, I find myself in a tweener role. This is one of the coolest or biggest interviews that we've had the opportunity to have here on the Doug and Daddy Show when you're talking Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. But I turned to young Caleb, our producer, and he did not know who Dave Winfield was. And so as listeners out there, I guess, where does that put you? You know, if you're younger, look it up. He was one of the all-time greatest. I mean, going to Bo Jackson is not overstating Dave Winfield, what he was able to do in a variety of sports. I mean, he was Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, multiple sport guy that could have played multiple sports at the professional level because he played them at every other level growing up, two sports star in college, and you just hardly, hardly see any of that anymore, especially anyway, 29 strikeouts in two games at the College World Series. He wasn't playing Putch U or Alaria Tech. He was playing some really, really good clubs. Last thing here, and we'll roll on out of here in case I missed anything. The Tri-City Storm, we talked about their assistant coach stepping down yesterday to head to Wisconsin, and they'll have to do some work here now that J.B. Bittner has gone, because their tryout camp begins Monday in Las Vegas. The camp will combine skaters from all backgrounds, returning players, affiliate players, players selected in the draft, and even a few undrafted players that are hoping to catch the eye of head coach and general manager Jim Holton. So, also, Holton says an update on his ongoing contract negotiations, said, quote, on a personal note, contract discussions continue to move favorably towards a long-term agreement, end quote. So I kind of mentioned that yesterday. If we hadn't heard anything, you had to think maybe we were in a good spot. I mean, it's hard to believe. I mean, the season just ended 6 weeks ago or something like that, and now you're getting ready for next year already, but that's exactly what's going on. The Storm will have to submit a 30-man roster to the league in July. The prospective players will be divided into eight teams. Holton staff will select two all-star squads and then play games next Friday and Saturday to kind of wrap up the camp. There is some American Legion baseball action that is going on this weekend. Kearney Five Points and Little Caesars scheduled to play at York, but if you go to Ryder Park in Grand Island or Memorial Field in Kearney, you'll see Junior's tournament action. Post 52 Two's first game is going on tonight against Millard West at 7:30. Elkhorn South, Gretna is a part of that. And again, the Las Vegas Aces will be in Hastings tonight. It's also Fan Appreciation Night at Duncan Field. The Aces are traveling across the country, headed to watch some of the College World Series and picking up some games along the way. So Las Vegas Aces at Duncan Field to take on the Hastings Seniors tonight, and all the action can be heard on 1230 KHAS beginning at 5:30. Also, some great scores shot yesterday in the opening round of qualifying at the 48th Nebraska Match Play at the beautiful Prairie Club near Valentine. Ryan Niedfeldt, 7 under par, had the first round lead. Alex Shockey, he's trying to join his brother Carson, who gets a bye. He doesn't have to go through the qualifying. He automatically is the number one seed in match play. Shockey was just kind of clogging, plodding along, and then he birdied 6 of the last 8 holes at the Prairie Club. If you've ever been up there, yo, 6 of the last 8 holes. For locally, Michael Colgate, the UNK golfer who is transferring to Lincoln, and Cale Benson of Grand Island both shot 2 under yesterday, so they were tied for 6th. Reed Wiebe of Sutton was tied for 18th. You've got Sam Chagrou of Holdridge, Timothy Davis of Cozad, Lucas Gross-Nicholas of Aurora. They'll have to play a little bit better today if they hope to make the final 32 in the match play, which gets underway tomorrow. They'll play 36 each day and wrap things up on Monday. Bike ride across Nebraska. Wilbur to Syracuse. They're hitting on the final stretch. Mitch Manstead did mention it. I have been honored as well by the Coaches Association to go into the Wrestling Hall of Fame. As I said before, and as we'll say today during the induction ceremonies, this is an award that goes, and an honor that goes, to all the folks that have made the job easier, all the folks that do the play-by-play with me, all the folks that I have worked with here, to the McCanns, both Tom and Johnny, for their love of the sport, and then it just kind of has continued on all the way back to my days before I came to Kearney, and the folks up in Greeley and Sargent and Burwell and the Nordhuses and the four-time champions and so many others. Truly thank you for allowing me to do my job and I guess be honored tonight. So it'll be a good time. Enjoy the All-Star festivities. You've got the Due West All-Star Classic in Minden, as they have the volleyball tonight. It starts at 4, then the basketball tomorrow at noon with the conference All-Stars playing each other. You've got the Western Nebraska volleyball and football All-Star games in Scotts Bluff. The All-Star wrestling duel is at Grand Island Senior High tomorrow at 1. And last night, that Hastings Tribune Volleyball Classic is truly a classic. It goes 5 sets almost every year, and not because they're just trying to make it. I mean, it was 17-15 last night in the 5th set again. So congratulations to those young ladies. I want to thank Mitch Manstead going into the Wrestling Hall of Fame, Sean Callahan from Husker Online talking Big Red Football, and of course, Hall of Famer in both the professional and college ranks, Dave Winfield, for being on the show today. We'll be back Monday with NBA, NHL, College World Series talk. First game tomorrow, Arkansas, Virginia at 2 o'clock. Every game's here on ESPN. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Drew, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.